We're joined today by Erica Brockmeyer, who's one of five candidates running for the two seats open on the Schenectady School Board. Vote will take place on May 18th. Erica, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you decided to run for the school board?
And of course, and Mark, thank you so much for having me today. So I grew up in Schenectady. I graduated from Schenectady High School in 2003. I left for college and then moved back to the city. And I've since moving back, I've pretty much worked in the city directly with the youth for 8 or 9 years. I ran different Boys and Girls Clubs within the cities, the Craig Street Boys and Girls Club, the Mount Pleasant Boys and Girls Club, as well as substituting directly in the district with the youth. Most recently, I am a school counselor at Emma Willard School in Troy. And I'm running because, you know, it's not the first time the thought or the desire had popped into my head, but working at the Boys and Girls Club and the hours we worked there, it just wasn't feasible that I'd be able to give the time necessary to the board. So now working at Emma Willard, when the thought popped up again, I really did a lot of self-reflection and evaluating. And the way I look at it and kind of how I live my life, if I'm going to complain about how something's going and I'm not willing to do something about it, then I need to stop complaining. So this is my doing something about it to have more of an impact and to have a voice is to run for the school board. And that's kind of what brought us to this moment.
Now, one of the big issues in the last year has been that the school superintendent had suddenly resigned, and now the interim school superintendent is announcing they're leaving at the end of August, and their first board's hire didn't quite apparently work out. So, you know, what do you think about the whole school superintendent hiring process, and how do you think the school board should handle that moving forward?
So first off, I think we definitely need to do less talking about it and start doing something about it, especially with Aaron leaving. Like, it's been over a year now that we don't have a permanent superintendent, and with the interim leading, we can't keep dragging our feet because it's our employees, our faculty, our kids who are the ones who are suffering. In terms of how I feel about the search process and how it should go, you know, my background's in, you know, counseling, mental health, you know, behavior. And I look at it from an angle of, you know, a lot of the community members want a completely open search process. And I look at that from the angle of, like, why? Why is everyone calling from this? I think it really stems from a mistrust between the community and the board. The community doesn't trust the decisions the board makes. And I think that's why we're having such an outcry for a completely open search process. And I think if we really examine it in the way of how human behavior works, how hiring people work. I've been a manager for many years. It's not feasible for us to get the best candidate that the community, that the kids, that the families, that our employees deserve by just going completely open, because that is a big turnoff for a lot of qualified candidates. I'm a fan of the hybrid approach, meaning that it's closed up into a point and then it opens up to community members and applicants have to agree to that once going through, but it protects them in a sense that if they don't even make it to the final round, that their employer is not going to know, and it's not going to leave a bad taste in their mouth that their employee, their superintendent is looking for employment elsewhere. Because people aren't going to apply because of that. We're really limiting ourselves. In terms of community being involved, I think we need to have an open call to action. We need to stop handpicking the same community members that are involved in anything. And just throw it out there. Who wants to be a part of the process? And then pull names at random. Make it fair. Get input. Get different points of view in there. Ways to, you know, once it gets to that open part, you know, whether it's they're interviewing the superintendent, the possible superintendent, or the potential superintendent is, you know, giving a presentation, then they're just rating them via Google form. And we can't wait till the last minute to get community members involved, because it just seems like we're checking a box. So I'm a fan of the hybrid approach. I think we'll be able to get the candidate and the superintendent we need, but we need to stop dragging our feet and start the process.
Now, Schenectady has a very high childhood poverty rate, not only high for upstate New York, but one of the highest, I believe, in the nation. You know, how does that impact upon the, you know, the school system, and, you know, what can be done to help address the high number of low-income children in the school?
Mm-hmm. I think the district has great intervention programs. We need more prevention programs, but I'm just going to give you one idea. I'm in regards to that is after school programs, right? Our school days end very early. We also have a problem with attendance in the district. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. Sometimes, you know, going to school is a barrier because of parents' work schedules, the fact that they get out so early. And there's great after school programs in the city. Like I just said, I worked at one, but there's not enough for the need. There's not, there's after school programs in the schools, but you have to qualify via different means for those. So we need more substantial after school programs within our schools. And because that addresses a lot of issues. Also, we talk about academic loss and learning loss from this past year. If we have after school programs in all of our schools, we can have those intervention programs to get kids where they need to be so they can be successful and show that academic growth.
Is there some type of particular innovation you'd like to see, instituted, while you're on the school board?
Yes, definitely. So one of the big things on my platform is prevention starting at an early age. We need the appropriate support staff in elementary schools, whether it be school counselors, social emotional learning coordinators, to implement curriculum that is based in social emotional learning, restorative justice and education, DEI work, so we can start those building blocks at a young age, so then we have a less need for intervention programs in the middle and high schools. Yeah, we're still going to need some, like they're kids, this is what we do, but there's not going to be as big of a need. But we're missing that groundwork, those roots from a young age, and it's not just picking a program and then having the social workers do it or the teachers do it, because they already all have enough on their plates. We need to really evaluate what frontline staff needs to be in the elementary schools to start laying that groundwork and getting those roots.
Now, the issue of racial justice, certainly has been a hot issue over the last couple of years, largely due to some of the criminal justice issues, but just noticed in the Daily Gazette today an article about some controversy up in Saratoga about how the school is going to address the issue of racial injustice. What's your feeling about how can schools contribute to the issue of improving racial justice?
Mm-hmm. So I was the last board meeting that they had a great presentation by all the individuals doing DEI work within the school system right now. And we're definitely taking steps in the right direction within our district. There seems to be a very big commitment to it. I think that is key. One thing, and I'm not sure if it's being done or not, I just couldn't find it on the website, is there's a lot of work being done right now with staff in regards to DEI work, which again, I think is key. I think we need to start implementing those practices into our curriculum and classrooms as well. Because otherwise we're going to keep having to do this work for 25 years if we're not addressing our own implicit bias and self-reflection, but also teaching our youngsters about that so we don't have these same problems again and again and again.
One of the big problems with teaching in the last year, of course, has been COVID. Hopefully that, may be declining a bit, but did you think in the last 90 seconds did the school do a good job, and if there's any lessons we need to implement, say, in the next school year?
I think any school district you look at, any institution, everyone did the best job that they could, because there is no right or wrong way, because no one had ever done this before. So everyone tried and did the best that they could. And we need to take the lessons that we learned this past year and grow on that going into the next school year. We can't wait till the last minute to plan what in-person's going to learning is going to look like. We need to start doing it now, have a plan, and then be willing to pivot, because these kids need to be in school in a safe way, because there's not only learning loss, but there's social loss, there's well-being loss, and we need to be mindful of that when we do bring them back.
So we've been talking with Erica Brockmeyer, one of the candidates for the Schenectady School Board elections on May 18th. Erica, if people want to find out more about your campaign, how best can they do so?
Yes, you can visit Vote Brockmeyer, BROCKMYER.com, or on Facebook or Instagram, it's Brockmeyer for the number 4 school board.
Thank you, Erica, for joining us today. And this has been Mark Dunlay for the Hudson Mohawk Radio.